Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I was going to do some sort of intro. Yeah, we don't really have an intro for this. This is just now going to be known going forward as News Lads, The News Lads, News Comma Lads, all the news, both the lads, every week, and we'll just see what comes in.
All the news, both the lads, don't.
Every week. And so that might be enough. It might be all you need. Maybe someone can take that and make some sort of dance remix out of it. Please do. But yeah, we thought that this week we'd just do a console-based spectacular because I've been lucky enough to get the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. You're way more sensible with your money and you're waiting because doesn't need to get a Series X right now.
Partly being sensible, Scott Tilford, and partly just not being able to find an Xbox Series X. Like, I'm not like you, staying up all night just hoping someone posts a link to one that's available. Yeah, I think even if I could get a Series X right now, if there were some in stock, I would have probably waited. I am looking forward to getting one, but for me, my primary, you know, focus was on the PlayStation 5 just because I wanted to play the game. So yeah,
just fair enough. I think that it's just for me, I always have a thing where I'll message Josh in the morning and just say I've just bought XYZ, I just got Sly Cooper on the PS4 or whatever it is, some random thing, and you say, why have you done that? And I just say, I just have to know. I just need to know whatever it is. And in regards to the Series X, I needed to know what they do. It's got an animated background, mate. I think it's definitely worth £500. Yeah.
When you do this with like Toy Story 3, I'm like, that's absolutely mad.
But Toy Story 3 is so good, mate.
It'll cost you like £8. But when you do it with a console or a television, I'm like, Scott Tilford, this is outrageous.
Look, I'm not having this from Mr. TV himself. The reason I got my big stupid LG CX is because you're the one banging on about OLEDs. You're the guy on my shoulder going, go on, do it, mate.
Call me Mike TV because I just want to like live vicariously through you because
Michael,
I didn't get an OLED. I got a QLED eventually, but I kind of wish I did get an OLED. So I'm using you as a litmus test to see whether I need to spend another, you know, £1,000 on a television that I definitely don't need.
No, it's so ludicrous. I don't even know what the difference is between OLED and a QLED. I actually bought the TV on a Black Friday sale and then looked up the specs to make sure it was actually going to work. Thankfully, it is, but it's ridiculous. Anyway, I thought we'd talk a lot about PS5 and Series X type stories, obviously folding in the Series S as well on the Xbox side. And mainly, I've got these broken down to four categories. Stock shortages, next-gen price hikes, UI bugs, and then games at the end. So we'll just talk about stock for the first stuff. Because there's been a hell of a sort of rollout for these systems. I saw Jim Ryan, who is from Kenton, Newcastle. Man, I mean, I knew the man was a Geordie man, but he's like, he's from Brunei, like, you know what I mean? And so he was like, I wouldn't recommend launching a console in the middle of a pandemic. He was like, lol, we got through it. But have they got through it? I guess that's the sort of overall conversation point, because the more that comes out about the stock allocations for both sides, both Xbox and PlayStation, the more we're getting delays into December and some stuff even into next year. So Xbox's Tim Stewart, he was speaking at the Jefferies Interactive Entertainment Virtual Conference, and he said that, I think we'll continue to see supply shortages as we head into the post-holiday calendar Q1, which puts the idea of, you know, stock reliability all the way forward to April 2021. Phil Spencer was talking on the Dropped Frames podcast and said that he apologizes in advance. He says, I think we're going to live in that world, as in the one where we can't get Xboxes for a few months. We're going to have a lot more demand than we do supply. And then on the Sony side, Jim Ryan was talking to a Russian outlet called TASS and said, everything is sold. Absolutely everything is sold. Just every last possible thing has gone.
I love it, man. Like, it is mad. Like, when it was the PlayStation 5 launch, I was trying to get a friend of mine, you know, I was online. I had all of the retailers open, refreshing them at 12 at night. Then it was in the early hours of the morning. Then it was 12 noon. Oh, yeah. The next day it was 9 a.m. And it was just like this mad, mad rush. At one point, one retailer in the UK, Currys PC World, had like 150,000 users in a queue just trying to get online to see if they could get one. Like, it wasn't even like they were guaranteed, they were just trying their best. So, like, we've talked about this like a few times when it comes to podcasts and news about whether or not this stock shortage could have been, you know, foreseen, whether or not they should have had more consoles at launch. And I do think that is part of it, but at the same time, like, the desire for a new console is there. We were all wondering whether it was going to have the same kind of ferocity as the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One era did, which was, you know, kind of unprecedented at the time. Like, those flew off shelves. Mm-hmm. And from all the reports I'm seeing so far, it sounds like both Xbox Series X and S and the PlayStation 5 are selling even more than the previous generation, at least faster. Like, I think Xbox had a 40% increase on the last time they launched a console. And by the sounds of things, PlayStation is also just, you know, selling as much as they possibly can. And I just don't know if you could have the stock ready to match that demand, because, I mean, 150,000 people at 9 a.m. on a Friday just trying to get one from one retailer in the UK is madness. How can you keep up with that level of demand, you know? So I feel a bit sympathy for them and also the people who can't get one currently.
Yeah, man. And well, the thing is, on the site-specific stuff, like, having been in that mad rush before I got my Series X, it literally was at like 2:13 in the morning, was just refreshing Twitter. And eventually some guy was like, lads, they're over here. Go check out the Currys website. There's 10 in stock right now if you click this link. And I managed to get one then. I think the thing that's really annoying when I was in that headspace before then is that you just don't know where to get them from. It's not like the outlets are saying like, well, you know, we're expecting to get this much stock and it's spread across X number of months and, you know, come back here. They tend to update on the morning, or you tend to find out 2 hours beforehand. And even the likes of Amazon just say, we don't know when this is going to be back in stock. And it's like, well, surely you do. Like, that's just like a generic sort of thing that they put on there. But I think that a lot of people, you know, it was always that conversation point across 2020 of like, are people going to be able to afford it? We've had a hell of a year, and have people got, you know, half a granny to drop on a new console? And I think that a lot of people were just saving up for this, that this is their big, you know, final reward to themselves at the end of the year. And it just sucks that, like, you know, alongside the fact that overall, you know, stock is sold out, a lot of people are getting their even the pre-orders delayed. Like, Amazon delayed a bunch of pre-orders into December. I don't know, did you sort of see it coming? I guess for me, when I was in that space of like, I can't get one. And then I remember Ben Roy being like, well, you didn't pre-order. And I was like, no, but I should be, as a consumer, as a, you know, person on the street, I should be able to acquire this thing, this product that you've said is out. Basically, I was like, I should be able to get that. And luckily enough, I did, but it meant staying up until 2 a.m.
I mean, to an extent, I think you could see it coming just because of what happened in the last launch. You know, that last launch didn't have the difficulties that this launch has. And even that was like the exact same. Like, people couldn't get them for a few months. It was really difficult. Retailers were kind of sketchy as to when they were going to put them up, whether or not they were going to be able to deliver on time, whether or not they were going to change the orders. But I still do think there's been a level of shambolicness to the whole thing. Like,
shambolicism. I mean,
shambolicism. The night before, I was supposed to get my PlayStation 5, for example. Everyone who ordered from Game got this email saying, by the way, you might not get yours tomorrow because we've had some issues
as well
with the courier. The night before, 6 p.m., in an email that went to my spam, even though their marketing stuff always goes to my main one, it was like, oh yeah, you might not get it tomorrow, so watch out for that. And everyone was like, well, that's bad. That's not very good. But like, combine that with the other sort of retailer thing where they're being kind of weird about, you know, explaining when they're going to be on sale, how much stock they're going to get. And I'm sure, you know, some of that information might be difficult to get from Sony, but for a big launch of a thing, like, it is weird, especially around Christmas time when everyone's kind of wanting it. It just sort of, it feels a bit step removed from how you normally launch things like this. And I know there's always a level of demand outstripping supply, but here across the board, both from like Sony and the retailers themselves, there seems to be just these crossed wires that aren't getting resolved and leaves people like me and you sort of in the lurch.
Yeah. Like, I worked the Wii's launch back in 2008. And that thing was just, I worked at GameStation like back then, and like, we got them in and they went out that day. But it was like, I guess I wasn't the one sort of managing the stock levels, and I was just selling them. I was on the shop floor and stuff. And so like it was a case of them just comes in over here and then it goes out over there, and we were just getting stock updates like I guess week to week. But it's just, it's one of those things where they've had so long to plan for it, and it's more just anger on the consumer side. I get that if you are Jim Ryan, if you are Phil Spencer, and you're fielding all these questions, it's just like, look, it's out of my hands. Essentially, we've set this stuff in motion and we can't hit these particular demands. Because Game as well also said, I didn't pull the exact quote from this, but Game specifically in the UK have had this big clash with Yodel, where the Game put a big statement out saying that as far as they're concerned, it's kind of Yodel's fault, and that Yodel said that it was unfortunate that their name had been mentioned in this context, but they were trying their best to get the system out there. And Game also mentioned that it was because of the PS5 size that they thought that was a factor in why it's been harder to get as many shipped as possible. Which is an interesting angle on it, the idea that the PS5 is too big to satisfy demand, that it takes up too many delivery vans.
That is certainly an excuse, isn't it? Like that is something.
It is something. Let's move on to game price stuff. So this is weird, this, because it is such a massive talking point. It is something that needs to be addressed in an incredibly valid way. And I feel like the vast majority of us have kind of skirted over it. And even I this morning, when we talked about doing this on the podcast, I think because for me, I associate a lot of, you know, day one game pricing with being absolutely ridiculous, unaffordable, especially digital prices. Game prices for next gen, especially only on the PlayStation side for now, but it's inadvertently caused a lot of third parties to bump their prices up too. PlayStation have said that all their first party games are going to be £70 in the UK, $70 over in the US. And we just wanted to like sort of touch on that, because now that we've played a handful of PS5 games, and we can talk about some quotes as to why this is happening, but what's your general thoughts on the idea of games as a standard being £70?
I'm still kind of in shock, Scott, to be honest with you. Like you said, I slept walk through this news for the most part. We covered it when 2K started doing it, and when Sony like announced the launch prices. And it didn't feel real until I had them in my basket and I was like paying for them so much. Right. I think partly that's because when it comes to like the US prices, they were bumped up from $60 to $70. But in the UK, it's been a slightly steeper increase, because usually a new game here is £50, you know, 55 if you're paying straight from the PSN store. But now it's proper $69.99. So it feels like a big increase from what we were paying before. And it's just sort of interesting to see the excuses for it. Cause I think, you know, in general, there are some quite solid arguments that I think work on paper.
There's definitely some validity, yeah.
You point out to things like, well, game prices have remained static, even though everything, inflation has obviously happened, and, you know, maybe they've been long overdue an increase. But for me, it doesn't quite cut it, especially in a time where we're getting so many great sort of like free-to-play games. We're getting these other monetized aspects of games where essentially, you know, while we might be paying the exact same for the core game itself, we're paying much more to get the quote unquote complete experience down the line, you know, through DLC or kind of, you know, even like loot boxes or battle passes and stuff like that to unlock
Red
everything
bullets,
that's actually
maybe.
In it. Yeah. It's it doesn't, just because it's, they say, you know, $60, £50 is the price of a game now, like, is it? Because we have to pay for a lot more than that to get like the full thing.
The thing is, the money side, obviously there's the initial unit cost, and then I don't trust the gaming industry, or at least I don't trust certain third-party publishers to not then bolt on a storefront that means that they then benefit, you know, to the tune of X number of millions of dollars, like EA have, for example. And then they get to have their increased unit cost. They get to have their cake and then sell you it too. And I think that I'm just skeptical of how much it can be abused. Although, like I said, there is obviously validity to the fact that game production scales are exponentially bigger than they were back in the 90s and then even the 2000s. So some different quotes from across the board. Jim Ryan, Sony's Jim Ryan, big Geordie man, Geordie Jim, was speaking to The Telegraph and said, if you measure the hours of entertainment provided by a video game such as Demon's Souls compared to any other form of entertainment, I think that's a very straightforward comparison to draw. I am going to do a Jim Ryan voice. It might be increasingly more Geordie as we go, because at some point it'll be inscrutable to the rest of the world. His sort of thing echoes something that came out across the last couple of years, that because the game is longer, because you're spending more time with it, therefore, you know, there was a games analyst that compared it to a film ticket price last year and said that, like, look, you pay, you know, £5 to £8, £10, whatever it is, for certain movies. They last you 2 hours on average. Therefore, a game should be X number more in cost. We'll do some more quotes, but what do you think of the time invested versus price paid argument?
I think it's a tricky thing that I've personally sort of tried to push back at for like quite a while, because I don't think, you know, the length of the game is indicative of how much it's worth or even the quality that's in it. You know what I mean? Like for me, I've always said that I prefer a tighter 15 to 20 hour experience over a bloated 100, 150 hour like mess where, yeah, you can get a lot of, you can get your money's worth from that, but is it going to be interesting? Is it going to be compelling? Is it going to be,
is it even worth at that point?
Is it even worth it? Is it going to be sort of like quantity over quality or whatever? And I just think, I think it's a weird kind of, you know, argument to make, because it only really works if you're directly comparing games and movies, because like you could, yeah, you could say that, but you could look at like a vinyl or a CD or even like a stream, a book that you can get like hundreds and hours from that costs obviously much less. And I think my general kind of bugbear with the entire sort of decision to increase prices is that if this was a decision made to, you know, like pay the developers more, if it was directly going into the pockets of the people who made it, which I know it does to an extent, like I would be totally fine with that. I'm like, yeah, they put in a lot of work, you know, they put in so many hours, like they deserve that kind of monetary kind of investment and reflection. But ultimately, from what we've seen so far, at least the evidence on display so far, when these companies make all this money, it's not necessarily going to those people. It's going to the top brass. And then we get situations where games can be incredibly successful, like make billions in profit. And then you still get an entire studios just laid off. You're getting contractors just not brought back for more work because the project's over and now they can be moved on. We're getting like QA testers who just don't get many benefits at all, either from a financial perspective or just like, you know, in the company itself, like respect or social recognition or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to just pay to already, you know, bolster the people who are in charge because they're making mad money, not only from the game sales themselves, but like I said before, from these extra monetized elements. And it's like what we getting in return? Yeah, we're getting these quality games in some cases. Yes, I love Demon's Souls. Yes, I love Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I think the PlayStation 5 launch, you know, period has been really good. But what is fundamentally different from the last gen?
One thing that is just stands out for this is like he cites Demon's Souls as like the biggest reason, the biggest justification for like this sort of, you know, saying why money price needs to go up. Demon's Souls is beat for beat the 2009 game, other than the aesthetics. I know they've added more than that. I know there are animations, but there are literally side-by-side comparisons out there from proper hardcore Demon's Souls fans going like, look, this is the exact same frame rate data. This is the exact same world geometry. This is like, there was a dude who did a whole breakdown and then said, actually, it's not worth buying unless you want to do it for the aesthetics. If you just want to play Demon's Souls, you know, you could find it through emulation or whatever. You could just grab the 2009 one if you care the most about gameplay and the feel of that game and the sort of oppressive tonality that it has and everything like that. So which kind of brings about the idea that like you are paying for this graphical upgrade, which I would then say doesn't apply to Miles Morales, because that game on PS4 minus the ray tracing, like if you had a screenshot or whatever, you see it running, obviously if you can match the frame rates. I think that game looks nigh on identical. Like it's a lot cleaner and in 4K and everything, but it's like, it's not that much different. Like, I don't know.
I was impressed by Miles Morales, so I'm not going to lie. Like visually, I thought that looked like stunning, and I love the stuff it does with like the controller, things like that. I think that's probably, you know, there is something there that you can't replicate on PlayStation 4. And, you know, that is potentially an argument for why it is a bigger price. But at the same time, like you look at the competition, I just don't think this is where gaming is kind of trending. Like this is in direct opposition to Microsoft's approach, which has been like, give us a monthly subscription that's actually quite cheap and you can have Gears 5 at launch, you can have the Elder Scrolls 6 at launch, you can have all of these top games for like £15 a month, $20 a month, and that includes your online services and some more free games and stuff like that. And I just think they are kind of like polar opposites at the moment. And it's very interesting that Sony and 2K and the likes are just kind of doing that now when we are in a world of subscription services and, you know, being able to pay for a service rather than just an individual thing.
One thing is that I am fascinated by as well is like, because okay, there's some extra stuff here is that I pulled some different sort of data and quotes and things. So a few things to throw in here is that Activision and 2K were, you know, immediately all in on this. Like NBA 2K went to £70 and above. It's reduced at the minute because of Black Friday, but it was higher when they were one of the first third party devs to jump on it. Call of Duty obviously from Activision as at the, you know, premium price point. Godfall is £70 from Gearbox. I saw Eurogamer as well highlighted a bunch bunch of upcoming titles that are now listed as £70, like Hogwarts Legacy, Gotham Knights, and Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. All that stuff is coming for £70. And then, actually, I'll get to Take Two in a sec, but one thing for me is that that whole idea that, you know, games, they're so much more expensive to make, the project sizes are so much bigger, the scale is so much bigger. Why? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be, like you mentioned before about you'd rather have a tighter experience than something that is bloated and dragged out. And I think that is so endemic of something like the Netflix model, like for a whole season of, you know, you can tell when something's been stretched out so much. And something like the last few Assassin's Creeds, like I already feel like I've seen everything in Valhalla and I've only played it for like 10 hours. And I know there's another 200 hours in there because there was in Odyssey and I've obviously seen the reviews and stuff. And I just kind of wonder, like, maybe there's a reckoning on the horizon. It was what Sean Layden said when he stepped down from his position at Sony and just said, look, we should have more games overall, like a sheer quantity of more ideas being greenlit as opposed to bloating the ones that we have. And I kind of wonder if that's more of the solution. Obviously, they've steered into the price stuff so they can keep doing these massive over-the-top AAA games. But for me, I would take more games overall with a much smaller runtime or much smaller project scope.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I think I would as well. I mean, I think you're touching on a very good point. Like, it's one of those things where it's like the gaming industry says that people want it, so they're going to do it. It's like when they said horror games were dead, no one wants to buy horror games, that's why we're not making these anymore. Then EA was like, single player games are dead, no one wants to play single player games. God. And it's like, do you have any citations for that? Have you got any kind of data backing that up?
And they're just
like, trust me, bro, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, I'm a trustworthy bloke. You can just take my word.
I mean, I hate horror games, so clearly the whole world
exactly.
thinks that.
Everyone thinks like me. I don't like Dead Space, so you mustn't like Dead Space. I think there is an element kind of that to it when it comes to sort of like the bloat in games and games needing to be, you know, hit a certain amount of hours before they are worth $60 or something. But the big issue for me and why it was a genuine kind of like problem and a real frustration and why I wanted to talk about it on a podcast or a video is because I think it pushes out those kind of those newer games or even those titles that, you know, you might want to take a chance on, like, believe it or not, but I've been talking to you, Scott, for like weeks about potentially getting Godfall. For some reason, in the run-up to the launch, I was like, Godfall, I just need to know what it is. I need to try it. I need it.
You don't need it.
But I don't need it. I don't need it for £70. Once I like figured out, like it hit me, that was going to be the price. I was just thinking, there's no chance. There's no chance that I'm going to spend £70 to take a risk on a game that's getting 6 or 5s out of 10. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if it was sort of cheap, if it was the regular price, if it was even a little bit below that, you know, I would have, if that game came out in Game Pass, I would have absolutely given it a blast. I would have bought Game Pass to give it a try, but as a result,
the thing is, like,
I don't get to play it, and I don't think Godfall gets a chance with a wider audience who aren't going to part with that much money.
Yeah, well, I think like obviously like, it's a separate issue slightly, but game prices can kill games. Like I am all in on Harmonix's new game Fuser until I saw the price of it, and it's a strange conversation to have because it's almost like saying like I don't think this game is worth £50+, but it's, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Fuser, but obviously Harmonix, Guitar Hero, Rock Band, Fuser is like this new sort of DJ thing where you're mixing a bunch of different music together, and it just looks really, really cool. But it's like £50 or £60, and for me in my head, I'm more comfortable paying 20 or 30 for something like that. And I think that that assumption of price tagged along with whatever they show, like it's in an, on an individual basis doing that calculation. Like you always see a price and look at a game's trailer or whatever, and you make that like instinctual reaction of like, ah, okay, yeah. I can fork that out. But it's actually, I was going to throw in as well, Take-Two's Strauss Zelnick, he was talking to gamesindustry.biz, and in regards to the idea of, you know, the overall price being higher, he said there hasn't been a price increase for frontline titles in a really long time, despite the fact that it costs a great deal more to make AAA games. We think that with the value we offer consumers and the kind of experience you can really only have on these next generation consoles, that the new price is justified. But it's easy to say that when you're delivering extraordinary quality, and that's what our company prides itself on doing. He did follow up with the same sort of sentiment talking to Ars Technica, and kind of pulled back from it. Like, obviously, I can see him exploring both sides of it. He said to Ars Technica that they're definitely announcing pricing on a title-by-title basis, said for now they're just going to observe and just sort of wait it out. But, I mean, their biggest export is GTA Online, which is like a weird free multiplayer part of GTA 5 that has never been released separately anyway.
It's funny, like when they talk about like they're going to do it case by case, it's about sort of quality. To me, that just screams, we're going to do it for the franchises we can get away with. We're going to do it for the sports games because we somehow get away with so much when it comes to sports games in terms of aggressive monetization and now increased prices. Like, it's funny because, you know, personally, like I'm sort of against it across the board just generally. But if you said the next GTA was going to be £70, I'd be like, sure, I'm going to spend £70 because to me that's worth it. I know I'm going to get a lot of money out of it. And while that might be fine for certain individual games like that, certain games that you know are probably worth it at the end of the day. Like my biggest issue is just sort of how it affects everything. You know what I mean? I don't think it is helpful for everything. Like I said, the Godfall effect, something that people might be intrigued by, something that people might want to take a
I love the start of it, mate. I was texting you going like, oh, I'm blown away, mate. I think I tweeted about it. Start of
that
it.
That made me want to get it even more, Scott. I almost pre-ordered it for some mad reason.
Everything after the intro bit is when it devolves into just a straight up repetitive arena-based loot grind thing. And it's like, oh, okay, right, I see what you guys did. But the opening, when it's all popping off and there's reflections left, right, and center, and it's all particle effects and everything. And I was loving that. But yeah, I mean, I think Jim Ryan as well, for the last point on the last sort of quote on this point, was speaking to GQ and said, the thing with blockbuster games is that they need a box office release. And they often cost more than $100 million to make these days. I didn't even do my Geordie voice. And in order to be able to do that and bring new IP to the market, which is a very risky thing to do, and we did it four times in the PS4 generation, you've got to have a box office release. I get that. I think that, but that's the thing for me, that goes back to being hand in hand with the scope and scale of what you're producing. Like, I get that you can do this big blockbuster release thing and charge a premium price, but if Sony, as Sony Studios, PlayStation Studios, backed a bigger body of titles, you would get around all this anyway, because your blockbuster releases, or the box office release, is there by default because you're PlayStation Studios.
I don't like the sort of assumption that they're not already getting these blockbuster releases. Just this year, we've had Ghost of Tsushima have become like the fastest selling new IP like in Sony history. Like these games are doing really well.
Like it's not a risk as much anymore, although they did kill Concrete Genie, but still.
Well, they did. You know, they did. But, you know, for like the big hitters, when it comes to like the Sony proper, you know, blockbuster games that will cost $100 million that need this big weekend, they're already getting them. Spider-Man was just confirmed to have sold 20 million copies, which is absolutely ridiculous for a single console. We've got the likes of The Last of Us, Uncharted, like I said, Ghost of Tsushima, Horizon, God of War, all of these great games. It's not like they've not sold. They've sold really well. They've sold, in most cases, either better than the previous installments in their franchises, or they've set records for being the fastest selling UIP. Even Days Gone sold like mad copies at launch and made a hell of a lot of money. And it did it all without needing sort of a £70 price tag. To me, it's just a case of you can give me all the spin you want. You can give me all the arguments you want. I know for brass tacks, though, the reason you're doing it is just because you can. It's because you've got these. People are going to buy them. You know, you've got this inbuilt audience. It's not about quality. It's not about time equating to a certain amount of monetary value. It's just because you can do it. It's going to make you a lot of money, and you have to do nothing in your end. You can just put the prices up and reap the rewards. It's
old school Sony, like, you know, when the PS3 came out, a hubristic Sony.
Yeah, totally. Like, exactly that. That was the end of the point there.
I was wrapped up. Next point, I don't know how much long we've been going for, but we'll do a little bit more. Next big sort of talking point is all the UI stuff, the launch day bugs, and the way that Sony have completely dropped the ball with a certain part of backwards compatibility. This is just weird. Different people will have experienced this depending on which games they bought, which sort of saves they're trying to bring across. Because on the Xbox side, everything is handled through smart delivery. It's literally just fire up the system. You know, the game's load in as normal. You've got your big game library, and it says in the corner if it's optimized for Series X / S. And that stuff just works. Like, that phrase is used so much, # Todd Howard, but it's literally like trotted out so much of like, oh, it just works. On Xbox, it literally just works. Like, I put in everything from Watch Dogs to going back on Splinter Cell to whatever, and it loads up, it checks the cloud save, it brings it in, it works, you get the best version of that game, and it's brilliant. Sony have done none of that, and their whole thing has just been ridiculous. Like, they only put out in the last sort of few weeks the idea that, you know, games are going to get PS5 editions, PS5 updates, like Rocket League, No Man's Sky. Obviously, they released a full-on version of Spider-Man for the PS5. However, if you drill down into these games, some of them don't recognize your saves, and it's this weird minefield of not knowing which game will support your past progress and which games will. So on No Man's Sky's side and the Spider-Man Remastered, No Man's Sky did from launch, but Spider-Man's just been patched for this. You have to go into your old version of the game, go on the PS4, upload your save. So it's not even on the system level. You're doing it inside the game. Then load your the PS5 version of No Man's Sky or Spider-Man and re-download that save all inside the game. You can't do it on the system level. If you just open Spider-Man Remastered before the most recent patch, it wouldn't recognize the save data that was on your system. You have to manually upload it and re-download it inside the game. Hello Games did that for No Man's Sky. However, other games, the vast majority of them, Mortal Kombat 11 being one of the biggest ones, doesn't recognize your PS4 data. It does a server sync, so it'll give you whatever you've unlocked, and it'll give you, you know, like costumes and skins that you've bought and stuff like that, things that NetherRealm are able to sort of ping on their server side, but it doesn't recognize your campaign progress. It doesn't recognize anything to do with your player data, because as far as the system is concerned, it's the PS5 version is a new version of that game. And so the really awkward stuff involves trophies, where Spider-Man Remastered, as another example, you know, came with its own set of trophies, which if you import a save, it just pops all 42 trophies at once, and they all come up in the top corner, all sequentially one by one. Same on No Man's Sky. And all of it sort of points to the idea that Sony did not plan for this. They didn't plan for full-on backwards compatibility, or the idea of saves being transferred very seamlessly, whereas this has been Xbox's bread and butter. They even called it smart delivery, and they sold it with that stuff in mind. So final thing for this big old point is that on Rocket League's case, the developers were talking about the fact that Rocket League on Series X can support 120 frames per second, but the PS5 doesn't. And so they were quoted as saying enabling 120 hertz on Xbox Series XS is a minor patch, but enabling it on PS5 requires a full native port due to how backwards compatibility is implemented on the console. And unfortunately, that wasn't possible due to their focus being elsewhere. However, I know that's a point about frame rates, but I think that points to the reality of the way that the system architecture on the PlayStation can't do an upgrade on its system side to carry everything across. And it's on the developers now to code these weird cloud upload type things game by game to get your save data across.
When it comes to like that stuff, right? I didn't notice much like when I was actually playing until I realized I was playing the wrong version of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And I was on the PlayStation 4 version. And yep. I thought, why has it done this to me? I'm not on a PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And it keeps wanting to load it. And I think it's because I transferred it over from my hard drive from my PlayStation 4 to my PlayStation 5. So it was there before the PlayStation 5 version downloaded. But, you know, that doesn't really matter.
It's not that, mate. It's like, it does that anyway. That's another part of it, is that, like, the system UI will suggest the wrong version because they haven't coded it in a way that recognizes or prioritizes the upgraded version of those games. I did the exact same thing with Sackboy, and I redeemed codes for Sackboy and Call of Duty, and both of them still defaulted to the PS4 version on the dashboard, which is ridiculous.
It's so weird, and it's like, it works fine. It just has that kind of classic Sony obtuseness that, you know, I feel like is really outmoded at this point, really outdated, especially when the competition is so far ahead, like doing this stuff. For me, the biggest issue and the biggest disappointment, I suppose, is the thing that the Rocket League developers were talking about. You know, I was really looking forward to playing Call of Duty Warzone on the PlayStation 5 to see how the high-res texture pack updated to see how it performed. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks that Xbox gets this 120 frames per second kind of mode just patched in, just turned on, whereas for PlayStation, they would have to, you know, change how it's ported over. You know, they would have to do something much more substantial to get a feature that just works on Xbox. And it's kind of mad that that's happening when, especially Sony, like, has this marketing deal with Activision where it's like, play on the PlayStation, like any PlayStation you want. Like, that's the best version of the game. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's much harder to get things that are simple but substantial to work on that machine. And it's not the biggest deal breaker, but it's frustrating when you actually have it in your hands.
Yeah. I was going to just quickly say, like, the amount of duplicates that can end up in your library as well. Like, initially, it'll recognize, like, an alpha or a beta. Like, it'll have a PS4 version of a game next to the PS5 one. Sometimes the PS5 one disappears if the PS4 one isn't fully installed. Or, like, if you go on the store, like, for Borderlands 3 and for Mortal Kombat 11, you've got to go on the store for the PS4 version, because that's the only one that's on the store right now. And then the developers have posted an update to a link to the PS5 patch, which you then have to, like, go through. And it's like, well, do I download the PS4 one and the updated patch, or if I go through the patch, is the download going to take care of everything? It's a big old thing.
It's so strange, because I've had a nice time with my PlayStation 5. I've been really enjoying it. I took a day off work, had a lovely long weekend with it, but there are all these really kind of minor issues that just sort of add up to a strange launch. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't even talked about the kind of issue with certain crashes or certain bugs or things just not quite working as they should. And I remember before launch when you had it and you were talking to me, I was like, Scott, man, it'll be fine. They're probably not even that big of a deal. You know what I mean? They're just things you got to live with. This is a console launch, but now I've actually got one myself and I'm actually experiencing them myself. I'm kind of thinking, ooh, this probably isn't as smooth or as polished as it could be, you know, especially for a launch that has been so tumultuous. It sucks a little bit. Like I said, it's not a deal breaker by far, but it sucks a little bit to have those kind of issues with delivery and stock and stuff like that slip over to the actual machine itself and the problems that you're facing, you know, day one.
Well, Kotaku shouldn't do an article called How to Tell If You're Playing the Next Gen Version of Your Game. Like, it should immediately prioritize the one that you bought the system for. It's just stupid. The thing is, I was more forgiving of it until I saw how the Series X handled it, or the Series S even, because it's so seamless. And on the Xbox side, it's so much tighter. Like, they know exactly how to give you the version of the game that you want, just with all the correct upgrades and updates applied. And you just go into it the way that it should be seamless. And you can just tell that they've planned for it in a way that Sony haven't. And I hate the whole juggling cloud saves. Like, where is my save data? I actually lost some save data because randomly my Need for Speed file just deleted itself. And I was like, cool. But it's just that whole thing of, like, having to, like, you messaged me, like, on the night of getting your PS5. And we're like, how do I even get the PS5 version of Call of Duty? Because it's saying that it's downloaded. But where is that? And I was like, oh, well, you've got to go to this tiny three-dot menu and then button through to the PS5 one. It's like, there are things that can be solved, but you shouldn't have to. And it wasn't until I saw them side by side that I was like, oh, okay, this is how it should be done. And then it just feels so much like Sony are playing catch up.
Totally.
The final point is just very quickly, we can talk about some games, or the games that are coming anyway. And this is just more of a talking point around God of War, where in a recent Telegraph interview from with Jim Ryan again, he said he's got nothing to say about that today. So he's sick of being asked about God of War.
Man, I've got no to say about God of War for you today.
Atreus and Kratos, man.
So, all mine.
Fog on the Atreus is it might potentially be coming to the PS4. So the thing is, obviously, it's a big old talking point, considering that Horizon and all these other Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Sackboy, whatever, are all coming out on PS4, or some of them are already out on PS4, whether or not God of War 2 is also going to be on PlayStation 4. And very recently, Mr. Jim Ryan was asked about that. And instead of just saying, no, it's a PlayStation 5 exclusive. He said he's got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say about that today, which is a lovely rhyme in Geordie. But still, do you think that God of War 2 is going to be on PS4?
Probably. I mean, if he's thin, he's got nothing to say about it in the fact that Spider-Man is and the fact that Horizon is. It sort of points towards them putting it on there. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just confirm it as a PlayStation 5 exclusive like they have with Ratchet and Clank if it kind of wasn't. I don't think they have anything to lose with that unless they are kind of, because it's coming out presumably at the very end of last year, if it doesn't get delayed, maybe they're wanting to kind of, you know, make sure people jump to the PlayStation 5 first. So it doesn't appear from like an optics perspective that they're now suddenly cutting off PlayStation 4 players. Because I think if you did announce that now, it kind of does go against their message of, you know, like we're trying to make this as synergistic as possible. Even though we're pushing ahead with next generation, we believe in the next generation, we've still got important plans for the PlayStation 4. Maybe that's why he's kind of not talking about it now, because he doesn't want to undermine that messaging. And he wants to kind of, you know, a year in, that kind of cutting ties with the past gen is kind of a bit more acceptable, perhaps.
That's definitely, yeah. He's said in various different outlets that it's because they, over whatever it is, 100 million people have PS4s. He doesn't want to cut those people off, which is just hilarious because it goes in direct contrast to the whole we believe in generations thing that they had at the beginning, which was clearly their mandate up until a couple of months ago, where all of a sudden Xbox was gaining so much steam and they were like, oh, crap, we should do something that, you know, respects the previous purchases, allows you to carry things over, which I think is why a lot of the UI stuff is such a mess. However, one last thing I was going to say, because he was also talking to GQ, and this is another sort of point about the wider approach to games going forward, and just sort of hinted at the idea that they might be doing a Game Pass type thing. So speaking to GQ, Jim Ryan, I won't do the Geordie voice because I'll do the Geordie voice.
One more time.
Yeah, I want some feedback on Twitter whether or not the Geordie voice is actually impossible to understand from anyone who's not from the Northeast. So he was speaking to GQ and they were talking about Game Pass and things like that going forward. And he said, PS Now and Plus are very important to us today. Very important to us today, man. This year, we're just trying to keep it focused on the PlayStation 5 and the games. But that doesn't mean that we're thinking deeply about our services and figuring out some quite interesting stuff that'll get its moment in the limelight. That bit, that interesting stuff, is what's been cherry-picked and said that might be something in regards to Game Pass. So it seems that they're going to do more with PS Now going forward, basically, or the idea of combining PS Now and PS Plus.
Yeah, give me that. Give me it so much. I quite like PlayStation Now as a service. I liked it even more when you were able to download PlayStation 4 games. And I feel like it's just ripe for being expanded a bit more. I don't think we'll see them directly compete with Microsoft when it comes to, you know, having Uncharted 5 on PS Now day one or anything like that. But I think a bigger service, a more reliable service, the ability to download more games, maybe more games coming to the PlayStation 4, is it like Classic Collection or whatever it is?
Something like that.
And I think that would be really cool, and it ultimately sort of makes sense to put the focus now on the console itself, the games, and then in a few years' time or a year's time to be like, we've also been cooking this up, we've got changes to come. It's the classic Sony thing of things that happen. And it might be a big thing. It might just be a tiny update, so we can just say we've done something. I don't know, but I wouldn't be against it at all.
No, me neither. Speaking of tiny updates, I just want to throw something in for the Xbox side of forward-thinking, forward-looking Xbox stuff. I thought I'd just Google and see what's going on with Halo Infinite, because that should have been out by now, but it's just sort of languishing in the corner somewhere. So 343 have put an update out saying that they're not going to do anything for the Game Awards, but the PR put a statement out saying that we're working with the team to provide an end-of-year update and to establish plans to be much more communicative in the coming months. So they're planning to have a plan. They're going to do something. That's good.
I don't want to compare it to Anthem, Scott, but it very much sounds like the Anthem. We've got a plan for a road back. Just it'll be out at some point. Just
2021 is going to be.
I don't want to hear about Halo, man. I don't want to hear about Halo until it's out. Like I'm done. I'm so done. We've done far too much news on it this year.
I can't.
I have nothing more to say other than I hope it's good. Hope it's worth the wait, and I hope they crack on making something interesting and nice.
Well, we almost definitely will do 10 more news videos between now and when it actually comes out. But I think 2021 will be the year of resurrections, because it's Anthem, potentially the Avengers, and potentially Halo. So yes, we'll keep on top of whatever else rolls out. I forget, we're going to go with News Lads for this.
We're
the News Lads. All news, every week, whatever I said, it was good. We'll make it work.
We're the News Lads. This has been the News Lads. That's the tagline.
Dude, I'm pretty sure that Zoom has made us go out of sync, but we're not going to fix that in post. So just, you know, it'll work itself out. For now, though, yeah, this has been the news, lads. Take care of the news, lads, and we'll catch you next time. I've been Scott, joined by Josh.
Bye.
Bye.
Very good.
With that.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.